You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 89 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, and as always, I am with my very quixotic friend, Jeff Gargas.
What was the word again?
Quixotic. I'm pretty sure I've used that one before, but it is my favorite word in the English language.
I'll take it. I like it.
No, I kid you not. Quixotic is my favorite word. I have it tattooed on my arm.
You do not?
I honestly do. On my left arm, on my forearm, I have a tattoo that says quixotic on it.
Interesting. Why did you get that tattoo? Just because it's your favorite word?
It's my favorite word. So when I was early in my career of education, it was how I really like viewed education. Quixotic came from Don Quixote, which is also a ballet. And it's focused on somebody who's like overly idealistic, but almost in a negative connotation, like somebody who's positive no matter what the circumstance. And I really had that kind of view of education of like really trying to ooze positivity. And now it sounds silly, but it's like my reminder to carry that mindset. You are very positive, Jeff. I know we give you a lot of grief on this podcast, but I think more often than not, you really have that quixotic mindset.
Interesting.
You don't seem impressed. Do you need me to change my tattoo? Sorry, dude.
Well, I'm just reading the Merriam-Webster dictionary where it's listed as foolishly impractical.
Yes, but it has that negative connotation. It's like somebody who believes in fairy tales where you're like, come on, you can't actually be that positive. You can't actually,
That's true. I do get that. Like, I get the you can't possibly love what you're doing that much.
Exactly.
I get that. Then they're like, you can't possibly deal with Ray for that many episodes in one day. And I'm like,
oh,
yeah,
stop.
I know.
It really goes into, you know, Jeff, I know we had an idea of what we were going to talk about at the beginning, but quixotic leads into how we should feel about our students, right? I mean, how we should be overly hopeful and believe that they can achieve anything.
So that's crazy how you twisted that into that. I was looking, we just had a blog post. What was it? I think last Thursday, Friday, something like that. By one of our amazing, by the way, amazing guest bloggers. We have a ton of them over there at teachbetter.com. But Michael Jennings, who we had on the podcast, I can't remember what episode it was, but it was an awesome episode. I'll link it in the show notes. What's that?
Michael Jennings is like the most amazing coach ever.
Yeah, he's awesome. But so he had a blog post out on teachbetter.com called Setting the Bar, three tips to help our students meet and exceed our expectations. And I was thinking through it as I was reading about, you know, Chad talks a lot about, our team as a whole, we talk a lot with teachers about, really setting a higher bar for students and setting your expectations up. Because what happens if you set low expectations and you think things like, oh, my kids will never be able to get this. My kids can't handle mastery learning. They can't handle moving at their own pace. They're not mature enough for that. They're not responsible. Whatever, you set these expectations low, that's where they're going to hit. And so it's really, really important. I was just thinking through that, like the importance of really having that high expectation. So then you bring this quixotic thing into like the whole thing of, you almost have to have these like seemingly foolishly impractical, right? Expectations of what your kids can do so that you're pushing yourself and them to a higher level and really stretching their abilities to hit the level of success that they should be able to hit to.
Jeff, I was with my father this weekend and he lives out of town. So we drive to see them every so often. And he's gotten really into learning about education, which is funny because he's extremely knowledgeable and wants to now learn about education now that I'm kind of in it. And he is constantly asking questions about how teachers relentlessly believe in students. They really believe that there is a way to reach them more deeply. There is a way to help them be successful. And teachers are constantly adapting and tweaking and adjusting to find that way. And it really is a very quixotic mentality that every day is a fresh start. Every day is an opportunity to learn. You know, this overly idealistic, positive mentality that while you find teachers that, complain in the teacher's lounge and you find teachers that are a little burnout, the reality is that every teacher in the classroom, especially when they first walked in, really believed that they were going to make an impact. And that that mentality is very quixotic.
I love it. I love that how that all turned like that. That's really cool.
See, it's like I kind of have a plan for this
stuff. It is. Someone probably thinks that we thought through that, and we didn't.
Well, I just want to clarify. Like, we didn't. I did.
Yo, you. Well, you know, that's because you're smart, and I just kind of wing it. Yeah, that was great. I love that. So this was a really awesome episode. This was a fun one, super exciting one, because we had, Rochelle not only just won an award at ISTE, but also is coming out to our conference in November. So for this episode, we've got the amazing Rochelle Dene Poth on with us. And she's been on our network for, I don't even know how long, but for a long time. We got to meet her in person last year. It was super fun. She's a Spanish and STEAM teacher. Let's see. I'm going to rattle off all this stuff because it's crazy, right? So she's the What's Next and Emerging Technology teacher. She's at a junior senior high school in PA, not too far from me, actually, just a couple hours away from me, actually. She's also an attorney, which I don't know if you knew that or not, but she's her Juris Doctor degree from Duquesne, which is a beautiful campus down there in Pittsburgh. She's got a master's degree in instructional technology. She's a consultant. Thrive and EDU LLC. She's the president of the ISTE Teacher Education Network and the communications chair for the ISTE Mobile Learning Network. She just won, just last week, last week of when we're recording this, the ISTE Making It Happen Award and the Presidential Gold Award for Volunteer Service to Education as well. Last year, she was the Outstanding Teacher of the Year by the PAECT, which is the Pennsylvania Association for Educational Communications and Technology. That's a big, long mouthful, but that's the PA affiliate of ISTE. And she was also named by the NSBA as one of the 20 to watch educators. Wow. She's got an awesome book out called In Other Words. And then she's also got another one, The Future Is Now, which is, I believe, out already too, right? Yes. Yes.
Yeah, she's had incredible success with her books. I have not been fortunate enough to read them yet, but especially after interviewing her here, I'm going to run out right now to Barnes & Noble and go grab it.
Well,
because when her books come out, I mean, the world blows up. The internet is like covered with her books. So people are loving what she's producing.
And in other words, the reviews I'm seeing and the response has been fantastic. She's with the awesome folks over at EduMatch doing some really great things. So this was a great episode. We talked about a whole bunch of stuff, but I don't even want to talk all that much. I just want to share the fact that I love two really big things about Rochelle's. One, she was extremely humble and did not want to talk about her award and her accolades or her books. And she says it toward the beginning, and you hear it the entire time we talked to her. She said she just loves to learn, and that led her to loving to teach and doing what she does. And she truly, truly loves what she does. And that was the biggest takeaway. But she shares some really cool value insights, and she's got a lot of experience with and insight in the world of utilizing technology, getting into the AR, VR, and all that type of stuff. So really cool stories there. Anything particular that you want people to listen for in this episode?
You know, we don't want to go too deep into this, but Rochelle had a really hard day right before she recorded this podcast with us. And it says so much about her, not only her accomplishments, but her dedication to doing what she can to help other educators is so inspiring. So I hope you really enjoy her amazing story she shares, and go follow her on social media. She's doing incredible things.
And with that, let's get into episode 89 with Rochelle Dene Poth.
Hey everyone, we so appreciate having you listening here with us. If you enjoy the show as much as Jeff and I enjoy amplifying these educator stories, I'd really like to encourage you to leave a rating and review. It takes about 3 minutes. Just click your star rating. I personally am a fan of that 5-star review. And then share a comment about what you enjoy most about our podcast. To be honest, this just allows us to reach more listeners and further share these amazing educators' message. All right, let's get to the episode.
All right, we're here talking. We are talking with Rochelle Dene Poth. And Rochelle, you have been connected with us for I don't even know how long. It seems like forever. Been in our world one way or another. It's part of our PLN and on chats online and engaging with us in one way or another. We met you somewhere last year sometime. Ray, where was that?
We were at Summer Spark.
It was at Summer Spark last year. Right, yeah. was awesome. So we met there. So it's been exciting. I don't know why it took so long to get you on the podcast.
Seriously. Honestly,
she's just super sought after, I think, is the problem, right?
No.
And we had to find a way to squeeze into her super busy schedule between, you know, winning awards and all kinds of other stuff like that, which we'll touch on. But before we get going, Rochelle, I just want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day and in life and hanging out with us and sharing some of your story with us here. But how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great, actually, because I do get to talk to both of you. And I think that the truth is that it's your busy schedule because you are doing so many amazing things that I can't keep up with it. There are always posts and things about the Teach Better team and the conference coming up. So I think the truth is it's not my busy schedule. I think that it's just you are so busy. So I'm honored to be here with you.
You know, Ray, I didn't coach her beforehand, but her best guest ever. Like, I give her a compliment. She just flips it right back around.
I'm just glad we tricked her into coming to the Teach Better conference this November.
Yeah, that was pretty cool too. I don't know how she fell for that.
I don't know, but I feel very lucky to come there, and I'm excited, especially when I look through the lineup of who's going to be there. Can't wait.
Can we talk about that for 2 seconds since you brought it up?
Absolutely.
Teach Better conference, November 8th and 9th here in beautiful Northeast Ohio. Some days, or rainy, but we have a crazy awesome lineup, which has been really cool. So Dave Burgess, Shelly Burgess, Tall Tal Thompson, Adam Welkin, welcome, Ryan Sheehy, Tara Martin, Rochelle, Ray, are you coming?
Can I come, please?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think Ray's going to come. And some other folks too, like Chad Ostrowski, Tiffany Ott. Who am I missing, Ray? 63 others? Jeffrey Kubiak. CJ Reynolds.
I'm so stoked for CJ Reynolds. We've got Craig coming. I mean, literally the lineup is just ongoing. Every time you scroll through the list, it's like you keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and you keep seeing more and more people that you're excited about.
And I'm doing a horrible job promoting this, but the biggest thing is go to teachbetterconference.com, use the code podcasttalk and save $50 to come out and hang out with Shell for a couple of days. How about that?
Well, that sounds like a good deal. I'm excited because JC and Kristen are from Pittsburgh. Yeah. So I'm thinking we might be able to, you know, make the trip together. Like, how awesome would that be?
That would be really, that's a car trip that better be all over Instagram and stuff.
It probably will be, but it not by me.
Well, Rochelle, I want to make sure that as we get into this podcast, we not only can dive into all the amazing things you're doing, but also make sure our listeners learn all about you. So would you mind starting us off with sharing kind of how you describe, what you do?
Oh, do I have a limit to number of words?
Absolutely not. This is fair game right now.
You know, most of what I do is tied into just learning. Ever since I was a kid, I just always loved to learn. I played school as a kid. I spent a lot of time taking different courses, even after graduating from my undergraduate degree, pursuing other degrees. And just over the last even 10 years, if I think about where I have spent most of my time, it has been either connecting with other educators at different conferences or online, or in person. And just trying to, you know, make connections, even with my students too, to build relationships. And so when people are like, well, what do you do? Years ago, you know, you have those conversations where somebody says, oh, what do you do for a living? Or, you know, what's your job? And I would always say, I'm a teacher. And people would say, oh, well, why? You know, hoping for some, like, oh, I've always wanted to be a teacher, some great story. And I really didn't have that. And you know, what I've invested myself in over the last like 8 or 10 years now is, you know, I've re-engaged in the profession. And so I really do get excited, you know, for the new day. Like, what am I going to learn today? Or what book am I going to read? Or who am I going to connect with? I have to keep going. I feel like I always need to have something to work on. Like, it's hard for me to slow down and relax. But in that same token, I find what I do to be relaxing, as odd as that may sound to some people.
I love that. I've never thought of it that way, that you find what you're doing to be relaxed. And I feel the same way most days, as long as I don't have to talk with Ray. But
lying. He talks to me like 9 times a day.
But I love how you say that, Rochelle, because that means that's that true love of what you're doing, where, yeah, there's it's hard work. There's stress, there's anxiety, there's frustrations, there's failures, there's all these things. But at the end of the day, it's still relaxing because you just really love what you're doing. Like, I'm stealing that, basically. I'm telling you.
You totally can steal it.
I love it. It's really, really cool. So I want to talk about, we talk a lot on this podcast about failure, because I talk a lot about failure and how I feel very fortunate to have failed as many times as I had in my life, because I feel like they've all led me to where I am and I've been able to learn from them. So we like to discuss that here. So can you share with us a time that you've had a challenge in your life, a failure in your life, and sort of what happened, how it made you feel, and then how did you overcome that? And what did you take away from that experience?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start with those ones, because I've had, you know, like everybody, you've had a lot of failures. And one big one for me was back in law school. I took one of my courses was property law, and I did everything that you could possibly do to prepare for that class. I never missed a class, took all the notes, listened to the audio tapes. Yes, audio tapes at the time, walking through the neighborhood, and just gave it, you know, my all. And then when it came down to the final exam, I blanked out, and I knew that I wasn't going to pass that exam, which in law school, you know, like you have to pass. So when the grades came out about 4 weeks or so later, I ended up with a C, which in law school, that's kind of the equivalent of getting an F. And I cried for, you know, 3 days, I think is what it was. I felt devastated because I knew what I had put into it. And I took some time to think about, like, well, what did I learn from this process? And like, how can I apply this, you know, just, I mean, not only to my life, but moving forward. And what I noticed the following school year, you know, say 2 months after that happened, I started to be more in tune to when students had this big fear of failing. Even just answering questions in class, you know, there's the, I don't know, or I can't do this, or I'm going to fail. And I realized, like, it doesn't necessarily matter that you fail. I mean, yeah, that's bad. Nobody wants to fail at something, especially when we're talking about grades, but like, what do you do? Like, they're still learning in that. And what I've learned from these failures is like, there's always something to be learned. It's either like, I didn't prepare, you know, I should have managed my time better, or I should have thought about a different way to go about doing something. But the biggest takeaway from that experience was how I've been able to kind of use that in my current situation in my classroom with my students, and saying to them, you know, and I've even asked them, like, how did you prepare? Like, did you study? Did you do all of these different things? And then I said, well, you have to be good with that. Like, do you know the information? Do you remember the content? You just couldn't apply it. So it's definitely opened up my way to look at things. I guess my lens is a little bit different now, mm-hmm. and the perspective I have, because I went through that, and just I've been able to apply. I mean, that's just one example. I've had lots of other failures, but that's one that has been, you know, I graduated in 2006, and I've noticed it increasingly be a problem in my classes and hearing students say that. So I've tried to really be intentional about sharing my own failure and, you know, how you can build and learn from that.
I think that's such a great way to flip your failure into a positive in your classroom and with your students, and being able to say to them and share with them, hey, I've been there. I've felt that. I know what you're going through here. Let's work on it together to get through. So I love that that's how you went about that. I'm glad that was the one that you chose to share. Well, we can talk about all the other ones another time. For right now, let's flip it the other way around. Let's talk about a successful moment you've had. And this can be something big or something small, but tell us what happened. Why was it a success for you? And then what did you take away from that experience?
One that pops to my mind like right away is I was talking to somebody last week even about this, and I remembered 2 years ago, you know, we all have these students, you know, we want to make connections with these students, and it's not the case that, you know, not every student is going to like you and love your class and all of that, but you should work to make a connection with students. And I was trying this 1 year with my students to connect. And I had one student in particular who, it did not matter what I did. I tried everything. I reached out to PLN. Nothing was working. And I was so frustrated. I'm like, why can't I make this connection? And it just so happened that I was walking out, we were in the library, and I just glimpsed down at the floor and I noticed a book, and the book on the floor was Ready Player One. And I'd read that book a couple of years ago and I loved it because it was like 80s nostalgia, and it reminded me of being like the kid at the video arcade. I mean, the game, you know, playing video games with my quarter on to save my game. And it caught my attention. I said to this student, oh, whose book is that? And they said, oh, it's my book. I went, oh, I love that book. And they said, you read that book? And I said, yeah. And we had this really quick conversation from that day on that totally changed like the whole 3/4 of the year prior of every single thing I had tried. And it was like the smallest moments matter, like just being observant. And I thought, had I not seen that cover of that book, like what a difference it made. And I was able to see the student and learn about the student more and have that connection and build a relationship that now, you know, 2 years later, it's like they've not taken my class since then. But we have these conversations, and to see that growth and to know that, like, that was that one moment. So it just reminds me of the importance of, like, being there, being present, being intentional about, you know, observing things about students and getting to know them, and how much that will add value to what you're presenting to them when you make that connection.
That just solidifies the theory of that you never know what moment is going to have the impact that you're looking for.
Right.
That's such a little thing that became such a big thing for you. That's awesome. I love that story. Hey, Ray.
Yeah.
Can we celebrate another success real quick, since she's too humble to bring it up?
You know what? I was literally just going to ask her about it. So take it away, Jeff Gargan.
So let's talk about another successful moment that happened just this past week, Rochelle, when you were awarded with the ISTE Making It Happen Award. Can you take us there? Like, you shared with us beforehand sort of the moment, but can you tell us, like, what was going through your head and what that was like? I mean, first off, congratulations. I mean, we said it, but now publicly on recorded record here, like, congrats. It's so awesome. We're so pumped up for you, as I know so many were, others were, based on all the social media activity that was around it. But can you kind of take us there? Tell us a minute, like, what's the award about? What is that about? What does that mean? And then sort of, you know, what was that moment like when they said your name? Because you didn't know it was coming, right?
No, I didn't. And and it's a great event that happens every year. You know, we have this conference that comes, obviously, ISTE every year. And I'm involved with a couple of the PLNs. And so there are different awards given for volunteer service education. So people are, you know, recognized for the hours that they've devoted to doing things like webinars and book studies and all of these different events within the PLNs. But then another part of it is they give this Making It Happen Award. And so this was my fifth ISTE, but it was only the fourth time that I've attended this luncheon. And so the way that they give this award, which it recognizes educators and leaders who, you know, are committed to, like, the mission of ISTE, to connecting education and technology, and just what they have done, I guess, you know, across the past year, but just on an ongoing basis. And so I know that 2 years ago when I attended, like, you're listening, you're trying to figure out who it is. I wasn't thinking that it was me, just because I truly don't feel like I would be the one to get this award. And I remember 2 years ago sitting at the table with Sarah Thomas, and they're describing the person, and I'm realizing, like, oh, it's Sarah. And then looking over, and I can see her face, and I capture the moment when she realized that it was her. And she's so humble, you know. So this year, whenever we were there, I had no idea. I knew I was getting a presidential award for volunteer hours, just because as president of Teacher Education Network and some of the other networks that I work with, I do build up a lot of hours over the year. But sitting with my team, the past president, Tori, was kind of just filming. I did not even notice, but I was listening to the description, trying to think about people who I know who are active, and like, I wonder who it could be. And then I heard, and not only that, she teaches Spanish, and then when I heard the word Spanish and she captured it on video, you see this transformation in my face from, like, oh my goodness. And then the tears come. So truly, I was very honored and humbled and overwhelmed by it. I'm still processing, which has been a week, but I'm still totally processing.
Well, I feel like with a big event like that, we talked about this before we started recording this podcast, but you know, you do so much. I kind of describe it sometimes in my own life of, you know, you're driving a car really fast and things are passing you by and you know they're good, but sometimes you can't enjoy them. And I really hope, whether it be now or I hope you did it last week, that you really take that time to kind of celebrate that and, you know, kind of sit back and be reflective of, oh my gosh, that was so cool, you know, because those are such special moments. You don't want to miss those.
Right. Yeah, I did. I looked at the video and then I had to laugh because you can see how I'm really, like, processing, like, gee, I wonder who it is. And then my friends who watched it said, wow, the transformation in your face when you realize it's you. And I'm saying, I don't have to give a speech, right? Like, I don't have to go up there, right? And I did. But it was great to be there to experience that with everybody and to see the others who received the award too. I have worked with them, Nicole Howard and Doug Casey both also received the Making It Happen Award, and I've gotten an opportunity to collaborate with them this year. So it's really nice to see them recognized.
It's so wonderful. Well, outside of, I mean, the huge successes that I know you've had, not only within your own personal life, but with students and colleagues and other teachers you've been able to work with, you know, there's something so special about where education is headed. I know you do an enormous amount with tech. I've learned so many VR and AR things from you that there must be so many things exciting you about education. But I'd really love to ask you, you know, what right now are you working on or learning about that's really fueling your fire?
Well, a couple of things. The AR VR is still, because every single day there is something new that pops up with it. And so that's one area that I'm really interested in learning more about, especially when it comes to what are the benefits in education. But for the past year, a big area that I've focused on more is artificial intelligence. And I actually took the ISTEU course on AI last fall and ended this spring. But even just in my STEAM class, teaching my students and having them learn about AI, you know, what are the benefits, what are the concerns that we should have, and just really, you know, focusing on different areas where I can pull information from. That's probably where I've been spending the bulk of my time when it comes to, you know, research and reading in areas of like ed tech and what's happening.
That's awesome. And I think that that's a huge piece that the teachers might be nervous to learn about, but there's so many magical moments you could do with that.
Yeah. It's just the concept. It's like when you hear, you know, AR, VR, or just the artificial intelligence, it just seems like, oh my gosh, it's so complex, but you don't have to know everything. I mean, there's no way that we could possibly know everything. We just have to know enough to get the students started and then to let them just kind of run with it.
Absolutely. So with that being said, knowing that it's a big idea, knowing that we need to almost let go of that control and let students take ownership over that exploration while also obviously using it with purpose within our content, what advice do our teachers need to maybe even start that first step? Because, you know, we usually do advice about, you know, new teachers in the field and starting their first job or maybe starting a new district. But specifically with the work that you do, what do they need to get started if they're maybe nervous or weary about exploring that?
Well, I mean, aside from social media, you know, there's so many hashtags that people can follow if they're on Twitter. But I always defer to my good friend Jamie Donnelly, who has her own website, ARVR&EDU. But we presented last week at ISTE, and there's something that she said, you know, I did a survey, and a lot of the concerns expressed were like, I don't know where to begin. How will I know everything that I need to know? And she said it, and actually another friend of mine said it last week too, just plus one, just find one thing, work on it. And then whenever you feel comfortable with it, you know, when your students are using it, if that's the case, then you add one more thing. Like, you don't have to do everything at one time. So just take that first step. And there are enough, like, just for example, if I say Nearpod has virtual field trips. And so that gives students, you know, an interaction with places that they're studying or something. It gives them a better way to immerse in the things that they're learning. And you don't have to start from scratch and create something, because there's a lesson or there's lessons full of all kind of places in their library. So most of these tools that are out there have a place to start. So I think that's the best advice, is like, just pick one thing that you've heard of and explore and see, you know, do you think you can use that in the area, your role, or whatever it is, and learn enough, just enough to get started, but then just let the students go and let them actually teach you. Because what I found is, like, if I only teach the students what I know, I'm completely limiting their possibilities and potential for growth. And so it's uncomfortable, but you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable and not knowing everything. And so taking that step back and just starting it and seeing what happens, and then you just reflect after that and take the next step.
That's great advice. Really, really good advice. So Jeff, are you nervous about her taking on like the trophy of these six questions, or how are you feeling about this right now?
I mean, at this point, like, we can assume she's going to nail it, and the trophy's just going to be like another trophy to put on her shelf at this point. So I think we're going to be ready. Are you ready, Rochelle, we're going to do the next six questions. Your goal is to answer each one in 15 seconds or less.
Wait, so do I get 15 seconds for myself, or is that both of us?
Ooh, good question. Let's go to the rule book.
You got, you get 15 seconds. My time, it does not count. It was not, I can't destroy your time. It's only you.
Okay, and I will tell you that I found little hacks around some of the, you know, parameters which may or may not have been set.
Interesting.
So she's cheating, but it's smart.
Yeah, I'm like, all right. Do I want to do this still? Let's skip to question 7. No. Yeah.
You get to go first, right?
What's that?
You get to go first, right?
What, me go? No, I asked the questions.
Oh, I thought you had to answer them too. I thought
no,
Ray was asking
you,
them.
No, no, I'm the host. That's I get to how do whatever I want. I don't get challenged.
I think that'd be fun.
I get I agree. Now I'm interested. So you were thinking we were going to go back and forth.
Yes.
No, this is all about you. I'm not a friend.
It's not about me.
It is about you. Like, literally, your name's going to be on the title of this whole thing. Like,
oh, my goodness.
It's this episode. Like, it's not but with Rocha, Jeff.
I want to make sure that you can really envision this, because while Jeff couldn't answer these questions for the life of him because he gets so nervous, he'd be, like, puking in the back. Gosh. But he has this, like, sweatband around his head, and the timer's out, and he's, like, he did push-ups before this question started, so this is really intense for him. I want you to sit back, use that mindfulness, breathe deeply. You're going to do this wonderfully.
I don't know why she feels like she has to paint that picture, Rochelle. I really need a different co-host.
No. She's great.
All right, let's do this. What is one tech tool you cannot live without?
Nearpod.
Oh, she was ready. I thought I was going to get her ready. She was ready. Okay, sorry. What's a book you're reading right now?
Relentless.
Who do we need to follow on Twitter today?
Okay. EduMatch, 4 o'clock faculty, and EduGladiators.
All hashtags, I'm assuming?
Yeah, all hashtags.
Ah, see, that's the get around. So that's like following a whole bunch of people. I love it. Best YouTube channel or website for educators?
Okay. Too many YouTube channels to pick, but I will pick website, Book Camp PD by Meredith Johnson, because she has tons of stuff for educators.
And cool. give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
Making time to greet students at the door and interact with them every single day.
And what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Start with relationships. Whatever you think you need to teach on the first day of school, you do not. You have to make a connection.
Ooh. Ain't that the truth?
It is. I wish I knew it the first 15 years that I taught.
Add the hashtag truth to that list of hashtags and we're good, right? That was, she was ready, Ray.
she was. Definitely. I'm packing up the trophy right now to send it her way.
I'm going to ship it. All right. Ah, that was great. Good stuff. I love the advice. I no matter how much we talk about it, I think we need to continue to drill that into everyone, that relationships have to be there. Nothing else matters.
And see, can I tell you one thing, though? That first, the EdTech tool, it's hard for me to only name one because there are two.
I imagine.
There are two that are my go-tos because they're very distinct from one another. And so I feel very bad.
All right. Who's the other one? You said Nearpod. What's your other one that you go to?
Buncee.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good stuff. Let me ask you this. Let's pull one more thing out of you because you were just at ISTE. Was there any new tool or software or anything like that that you had not been exposed to before that you learned about at the conference or?
Huh.
Or maybe just an idea, a theory or something?
Well, you know, I didn't actually get to go to many sessions other than like the playgrounds or poster sessions or interact with, you know, some people in the expo hall because I like to learn about these new tools. But I love going to the EdTech startup area. And there are a couple different EdTech startups there that are using, because like artificial intelligence, when I see that, that's like my go-to. Mm-hmm. But using the AI to help with filter for like YouTube channels. So if students are, pulling up a YouTube video that might have some of the, you know, how the videos will come up with some ad or something before, it generates some kind of an algorithm that kind of, I don't know how all of that works yet. But it will start to blur the screen immediately,
which
is kind of neat. So then even though it's still there and you can't stop it from playing, it does that. And then I also learned about a tool called MyTapTrack, and it's for students that might have some, you know, like students with autism or behavioral disorders or things like that that they're working with in the classroom, that people can kind of monitor their progress and what they're doing in class using this. It functions like a clicker. And it gives real life data so they can keep all of that information rather than, you know, losing that valuable data that they're going to need when they have different conversations and things with, you know, parents want to know. So it gave a clearer picture of, you know, every day in the class.
Very cool.
Good stuff. It's really cool. Well, Rochelle, I want to make sure that everybody can stay connected with you and just continue learning from you. After this podcast ends. So would you mind sharing how people can stay connected?
I'm pretty consistent when it comes to handles. So on Twitter, it's RDENE915, and that's the same for Instagram. My blog site is www.rdene915. And I think that pretty much covers it.
You got a couple books too that we didn't touch on, huh?
Well, that's okay. Because that
we can have a whole other episode on that.
We can only talk about so much, right?
Let's give a shout. Like, can you touch just real quick on your books? Let us know what they're called and where we can find them.
Yeah, the first one's called In Other Words, and it's focused around quotes that push us to think and rethink things in life. And it was going to be just about education, but the more I read the stories that I got from people, I realized that like it's not just specific to educators. That is available on Amazon or on the EduMatch site. And the second one is called The Future Is Now. That will be on Amazon as well. And it just has different themes about how we build our own strength, how we build the strength of others, and then how we can work together to plan for the future. And then some of the things that we need to be intentional about doing and some of the things that can help us to prepare best for our future with our students.
Fantastic. And you know, you can find all the links and resources for everything we've mentioned in this episode over at teachbetter.com, as well as the important links for connecting with Rochelle, checking out the books and everything. So make sure you head over to the show notes over at teachbetter.com for all of that. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating review, we'd really appreciate that as well. And then let's take this one step further. Let's think of just three of your colleagues who need to hear these amazing stories and share this podcast with them. We really appreciate that. Rochelle, this has been fantastic. It's been a great episode. So glad to have you on. Appreciate you coming on. Congratulations again on your award. We're super happy and pumped up for you, and we cannot wait for November for you to come hang out with us for a couple of days and get to see you in action live and just have some fun. So thank you again for coming on. Just a big thanks from us.
Well, big thank you from me right back to you, and I cannot wait. You know it's going to be here can't wait. And then we can continue to discuss when we're there in person.
Absolutely. Yes.
Loving it. Until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.